KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The Skyjack drama continues in Denver as an apparently nervous gunman takes off from Stapleton International Airport, lands, takes off again, and at last word is returning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The gunman commandeered a twin-engine light plane Sunday evening in Grand Island, Nebraska, after reportedly having an argument with his wife and taking a shot at her. The man, identified as Roger Lentz, then forced the pilot and the passenger to fly him to Denver. For a time, it was believed he had a third passenger he was also holding hostage, but authorities now say he's holding only two hostages. On the way into Denver, he radioed the tower, demanding a jet, either a 747 or a 727. He later demanded that a DC-10, which landed in Denver, take him to Mexico. When FBI, CAB, and airport officials who negotiated with him declined, he ordered the small plane airborne for a time, then demanded a Learjet, a smaller jet plane. He landed again, then took off, headed north. Authorities presumed he was heading for Casper or Cheyenne, Wyoming, but the plane was low on fuel, and an FBI helicopter trailed it. At last word, Lentz, still brandishing a pistol and a shotgun, was heading back to Stapleton International Airport in Denver. The flood threat is over, but the aftermath figures to be painfully expensive in and around Minot, North Dakota. Disaster emergency officials are talking tentatively of losses in the $10 million range. But they say the final total could go higher, considering agricultural losses between now and the date when it's too late to do any planting. State Disaster Emergency Services Operations Chief Ray Steger says much of the damage won't be known until the Souris River returns to normal levels.
You're looking at 250, 300 miles of river that has pretty much ripped up everything as it goes along. And as an example, right in Minot at the present time, there are four bridges that have been underwater now for about 3 days, and they'll be underwater for about four or five more days. And we don't even know what's going to be left of them after the river subsides.
Water systems in towns downriver from a freight train derailment near Jasper, Tennessee, are being checked for possible contamination from a toxic liquid. 40 cars of the freight derailed coming down a mountain Sunday, dumping the liquid into Nickajack Lake. Workers using bulldozers and shovels to build a makeshift earthen dike to prevent more of the liquid from running into the lake. The liquid, a wood preservative, is poisonous to people if it comes in contact with the skin or is breathed. CBS News continues following this message.
Let's see. You gave some money to the American Red Cross. And maybe now you wonder what happened to it. Here are just a few of the things.
In one recent year, we issued 2,589,861 life-saving and other swimming certificates. Red Cross instructors did the training.
We processed 4,291,519 units of blood.
We provided emergency care for 278,144 disaster victims and workers.
And during disasters, we helped 67,745 families with food, clothing, housing, medical care, occupational supplies.
We helped thousands of veterans to secure their rights.
Provided transportation to the old and infirm.
Taught English to new immigrants.
Conducted drug programs.
Helped people to resettle after...
You know what? There just isn't near enough time in any announcement to tell you everything the Red Cross does. In your community and all across America. 24 hours a day, every day. Red Cross. Isn't it a great idea?
It's been disclosed that doctors at a hospital in Columbus, Ohio, have been examining more than 200 cancer patients who received overdoses of radiation during treatment. A spokesman for Riverside Methodist Hospital said the overdoses occurred when an exposure meter that controlled the radiation failed. A hospital spokesman says the overexposures began in March of last year and were discovered in January of this year when a backup exposure meter was returned after being recalibrated. The spokesman said thus far, no serious injuries or after effects have been reported. The Defense Manpower Commission, created by Congress, says that an all-volunteer military force still is far from being a reality. It urged a revival of standby draft machinery and annual registration to avoid serious manpower shortages in case of a sudden war. The commission says if a booming economy should develop, the supply of recruits probably would not be large enough to support the needs of the armed services under current policies and programs. Early returns from municipal and provincial elections in Colombia appear to give a qualified vote of confidence to the Liberal Party of President Alfonso López Michelson. Final returns are not expected until Wednesday. The elections were held under a state of siege. An estimated 75% of the eligible voters apparently abstained from the balloting, which was generally regarded as a referendum on López's recent harsh measures to cope with social unrest in Colombia. A Chorus Line won 9 of the 18 silver medallions, including Best Musical, as Tony Awards were presented Sunday night in New York for Broadway's Best. Michael Bennett was honored for choreography and musical direction of A Chorus Line. Its star, Donna McKechnie, won Best Actress for a Musical, while the play also was honored for Best Musical Score, Best Featured Actor and Actress of a Musical, Best Lighting, and Best Book. Best Actor in a Musical was George Rose for the revival of My Fair Lady. Best Play honors went to Travesties, a comedy by British playwright Tom Stoppard. Shirley Knight was named Best Featured Actress for her performance in Kennedy's Children. Best Featured Actor, Tony, went to Edward Herman, star of George Bernard Shaw's Mrs. Warren's Profession. And a Special Actor of the Year award went to Richard Burton, who returned to Broadway this season to play in Equus, in a role originated by Anthony Hopkins. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, the weather outlook. Increasing cloudiness tonight with chance of a few showers. Occasional rain tomorrow, becoming showery tomorrow night. Decreasing showers with a few periods of partial clearing Tuesday. Highs in the lower 50s and lows in the upper 30s. In downtown Seattle, currently 47 degrees. It's 41 at the airport. The barometer steady at 30.26. And briefly in the world of sports, in the NBA first-round playoffs, Phoenix took a 2-1 lead over the Seattle Supersonics as they defeated the Sonics tonight 103-91. Buffalo eliminated Philadelphia 124-123, and Detroit defeated Milwaukee 107-104 to win their series. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, Minnesota over the Yankees, Chicago beat Boston, Cleveland down Kansas City, Oakland over Baltimore. In the National, Pittsburgh beat New York, St. Louis down Montreal, and San Francisco beat Cincinnati.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, moderator of these meanderings through the mysterious and the macabre. We say, revenge is sweet, but the accurate quote is, sweet is revenge. And the full quote is, sweet is revenge, especially to women. And it was written by Lord Byron, who certainly was in a position to know. And if you don't believe Lord Byron, you can take the word of Molière, who said, a woman always has her revenge ready. Does revenge really come more easily and readily to women? Or is this the chauvinism of male writers?
You can't frighten me, Mr. Killing.
I am not alone.
Oh, you have accomplices?
Colleagues, associates, collaborators.
How many?
Oh, 10,000 people. The entire town.
Do you mean the entire town will enter into a plot to murder me? That's impossible.
Why?
You can't get a whole town to...
You threaten the livelihood, the bread and butter, the future of every man, woman, and child in this place. You'll be surprised what people will do in order to eat.
Mystery drama Killing Valley was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Kim Hunter. It is sponsored in part by Allied Van Lines and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the Century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, join us. Nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice.
Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. This is a message to some very special people. They're special people because even though they may feel fine, they're dying. They're people who have high blood pressure and aren't treating it seriously. If you are one of these people, take a few seconds to listen to some statistics. They may help you add years to your life. Insurance companies have found the higher your blood pressure is, the more years you can subtract from your life. For example, if your blood pressure is 140 over 95, subtract 9 years from your life. And if it's 150 over 100, you could die 16 years too early. Here are a few more numbers to think about. If you don't treat your high blood pressure, chances are 3 times greater that you'll have a stroke, and almost 5 times greater that you'll suffer from congestive heart failure. But you can lead a longer and healthier life if you treat your high blood pressure seriously. See your doctor. Get back on your treatment. Treat your high blood pressure and live. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
You've heard it said, good name in man or woman is the immediate jewel of their souls. And I suppose what it comes down to for everyone is the reaction the mention of our name creates in others. Polly Preston still has to get used to the fact that her name has suddenly acquired meaning. It wasn't too long ago that mention of her name wouldn't even cause a ripple. But now it really roils the waters.
At the 37th floor, I stepped off the elevator. The stunningly beautiful, immaculately groomed blonde secretary, with the mandatory English accent, put honey and heather into her voice as she said to me, "Oh, how do you do, Miss Preston? You look marvelous. The book, I understand, is doing fabulously. You're to go right in. Mr. Cantwell is expecting you." What a difference 6 months and a bestseller can make.
Hey, hello, Polly.
Am I late?
No, just fashionably. Now, about the advance on your new book.
Herb, you'll have to discuss that with my agent.
Little Polly Preston, 6 months ago I had to advance you money for your room rent. And now you're having a headache with your taxes.
A most delightful headache.
Have you thought about your next book? Any ideas?
Well, I should have a first draft in 3 weeks. You'll have another bestseller.
Ah, what's it about?
Ever have a town called Killing Valley?
No.
I was born and raised there.
Oh, a book on life in a small town, huh?
Yes, and it's already written. Everything's in my head. But it's been 10 years since I've seen the place. I'll go back there for a few days. I want to get the feel of it again.
You know, if I were you, I'd go back there for at least a month.
Never. I couldn't stand the place that long.
Why, don't you like it?
I despise it. I detest what it stands for and everyone in it. All those corrupt, vicious people.
Oh, I see. It's going to be that kind of a book. You know, I'm afraid it won't be very good.
You don't have to publish it.
Polly, you wrote Month of Sundays. It had humor and art and understanding. That's your style.
I dashed that off as an exercise to see if I really was ready to write. I am. Look, do something for me. Send out a publicity release. Say that Polly Preston's new book is to be an exposé of a small town very much like the one she grew up in.
Are you sure you want it to be an exposé?
And I want it in tomorrow morning's papers. When I arrive in Killing Valley, I want them all to know why I've come back. I want to watch each of them wonder and worry how I'll portray them. Oh, I'll have a wonderful time.
Ah, Polly, this can't be you.
Why not?
I've seen people spoiled by sudden success, but I'd have bet my life on that down-to-earth, gentle girl I met 6 months ago.
Look, for 10 years, I've bided my time, Herb. I've directed my entire life toward one goal. Revenge. Killing Valley. Named after its first settler back in 1823, Josiah Killing. Oh, what a prophetic name. And through the generations, the family has practically owned the place. As I started down the hill, there was the town spread out before me. On the left, the old red brick buildings of the Killing Wire Copper Company. And moving in past the sprawl of shops and houses was the main street, named, of course, Killing Boulevard. The National Bank also had Killing's name on it as president. He was the latest Killing, Josiah IV. It was like a dynasty. The imperial holdings included the old Killing Insurance Company building and a new shopping arcade called Killing Mall. Finally, I parked in front of the only place on the street I had any affection for, Martha's Luncheonette. Cup of coffee, please.
Right away. Holy!
Hello, Martha.
Oh, kid, you're a sight for sore eyes. Let me look at you. Oh, well, now, who'd have known little Polly Preston? And that dress. It's got to be from Paris.
Oh, you look wonderful, too, Martha.
Oh, I'm just getting older and fatter. Oh, ain't there going to be a hot time in this old burg tonight? And every night from here on in.
Really?
Wow, it was in all the papers. Polly Preston to return to hometown of Killing Valley, which will be the locale of her new book.
You still make the world's best cup of coffee, Martha.
They don't appreciate it.
How's your dad?
Well, he's at the Veterans Hospital, you know.
Oh, I'll find time to run over and see him.
Hey, no, don't bother.
Why? Your dad was always so good to me.
Polly, he doesn't know anybody. His mind's just about gone. You know, he's kind of old, you know. So you're writing another book.
Yes.
Will I be in it?
Sure. You, Fred, my Aunt Grace, naturally my father. And, well, and that's all for the good guys. The rest?
Yeah, listen, kid. That book. It won't make you popular.
I already figured that out for myself.
You know, something's going on in this town.
What?
I don't know. It's just something in the air.
The only thing in the air is the pollution from Josiah Killing's factory.
Polly, you know what it's like to try to swim against the tide in this town. Look what happened to your father.
My father was a poor, friendless, beaten man. I'm somebody, Martha. I can't be pushed around by the likes of Josiah Killing or anyone else.
Oh, I still say, it could be dangerous.
You mean someone would try to do me harm?
I mean that book of yours. I would say some people would do anything to stop you from writing it.
Now, sit down, Mr. Killing.
I'm about to fly home, Mr. Mears. Thought I'd say goodbye. I've given you folks all the information you need.
Yes.
Do I detect shade of doubt in that yes?
Well, you see, Mr. Killing, the underwriting group would ordinarily look at your proposition as an extremely sound investment.
Ordinarily? I thought that was all settled yesterday.
Well,
what? Are you saying people have changed their minds? If so, sir, I'm entitled to an explanation.
Well, I think we may be entitled to an explanation. You have asked our group to invest millions in the revitalization of the town of Killing Valley.
And I tell you, it's a fantastically sound investment.
Yes. Do you know Polly Preston?
Of course I know Polly Preston. Knew her father and her mother.
Well, Miss Preston is a very successful novelist, and there have been reports she intends to write a book about Killing Valley.
Well, now, what does that have to do
with... An expose.
Of what?
According to the publicity of all the sordid, corrupt, and immoral people who live there.
Why, that's just...
Look, just, is it true?
It's what true?
Are the people who live there sordid, corrupt, and immoral?
Absolutely not, Mr. Mears. No more so than the people who live anywhere else.
Well, quite frankly, that book isn't going to do our project very much good.
Well, you could write a book like that about any town.
Unfortunately, a prominent writer has chosen to write one about Killing Valley. And the timing couldn't be worse. Frankly, I only see one way out.
And what's that?
Convince her not to write that book.
Convince her? Oh, how?
I don't know. But one way or another, you have to stop her.
Just a minute. Hello.
Helen. Oh, it's Helen. Oh, where have you been all these years?
No, Aunt Grace, it's me, Polly.
Oh, of course, Polly. Oh, you look so much like your mother. So much. And I was thinking of her and of me when we were both young. And so
May I come in?
Oh, I'm such a silly old lady. Oh, come in. Oh, yes. Oh, my. You startled me.
But I spoke to you on the phone. You knew I was coming.
I knew. Oh, you look so beautiful. And you're back. You've come back home.
I kept my promise, Aunt Grace. I said I'd come home when I'd be able to make this town pay the price for Dad and Mother. Now I can collect.
How long can you stay, child?
Until I finish this book.
The book. Oh, is it to be the book the whole town seems to be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Why? Why are you writing it?
Aunt Grace, you of all people should know what this town did to my father and to your own sister.
Yes.
I want revenge.
Oh, Polly, don't write that book. The past is gone. Don't disturb it. They'll kill you.
Oh, well, that's the second threat today. Martha's afraid for my safety, too.
Oh, that's not the sort of thing I mean. Polly, you're writing this book in order to kill people.
Well, that's
what they... Thus, you become a killer also. And the first person you kill is yourself. The self that is kind and generous and open-hearted. Oh, don't kill that person. That young girl I knew. Polly, how about supper?
Supper? Oh, Aunt Grace, don't tell me it's that time already.
Your favorite stew is in the oven. And here are your first 20 pages.
How do you like it so far?
Well, I don't know.
Now, why don't you like it?
Well, I didn't say I didn't like it.
On the other hand, you didn't say you did like it.
Josiah Killing is a selfish, arrogant man.
That's putting it mildly.
And everyone in town is afraid of him. They have to be. He doles out their daily bread. Could you expect folks to side with your father against him?
Josiah framed my dad. My father was not a thief.
Well, the jury was guided by the evidence.
The jury constantly kept one eye on Josiah Killing. I'll answer it, Aunt Grace. Hello? Hello?
Get out of town.
Who is this?
Get out of Killing Valley.
Who are you?
Polly, what's wrong?
You'll write that book, and you're dead.
Hello? Hello?
We have the classical elements of conflict. We have a writer who wants to write about certain people, and we have certain people who don't want to have themselves written about. If each side is determined to have its way, then things must move to a crisis, which must occur in Act Two, which I shall deliver in just a few moments.
Moving on with the Allied spirit, going to a brand new town.
what's going on in your head and your heart when you move. Because we move more families every year than anybody else. We'll move you with a kind of pride that says just good enough isn't good enough. The kind of understanding that says we've been there before. That's how we've become the world's number one mover. We call it the Allied Spirit. Let it move you.
Hello, tomorrow I'm on my way. I know you're gonna bring a brighter day. I've got the Allied Spirit, and it feels like I'm going home.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave this earth behind, I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing,
is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
In a democracy is filled with problems, which is probably why it is so fascinating. A writer should be free to write as he, or in this case, she, pleases. On the other hand, aren't the subjects of a writer's story entitled to their privacy? It's all a matter of highly sensitive and delicate adjustments. Of course, there are always those impatient and impetuous people who prefer to cut through all the niceties and take direct, violent action.
Polly, you should call the police.
The police?
That's what the police are for. You did receive a threatening telephone call.
The police of Killing Valley. Every one of those brave boys in blue is a lackey of Josiah Killing. Especially Chief Watson.
Oh, Polly, is it worth it?
It's worth anything to destroy this town. Uh-huh. Who can that be? Well, speak of the devil.
May I come in, Polly?
I would say no, but it's not my house. Aunt Grace,
please, come in, Josiah. Hmm? Won't you sit?
I thank you.
I just received an interesting telephone call. Some hoodlum, no doubt, in your employ, threatened me.
Oh, why do you say in my employ?
Well, doesn't everyone in this town work for you?
If you receive such a call.
If?
There are people in this town who are nervous and upset.
And with good cause.
I'm sure it was just someone letting off steam, just as you are.
Just as I am.
Well, that's what this book's all about, isn't it? Letting off steam. Polly, I've come here to ask you not to write that book.
You've come here to threaten me.
I'm here to appeal to your sense of fairness.
Fairness?
Polly.
Oh, my.
Polly.
Look, I'll be as fair to you as you were to my father.
Polly, are you...
Miss Preston, please.
This town cannot defend itself against your charges.
Who's being charged? I'm writing a book about a small town. Who says it's this one?
Well, everyone's going to assume...
I'm not responsible for that.
Do you want to destroy us?
I can't do that. I can cause you all some embarrassment. But after a while, who will really care?
You can destroy us. I'll divulge a secret. You're talking about the welfare of 10,000 human beings.
And how indifferent were those 10,000 to the suffering of one human being named Jim Preston?
Polly, I came here to appeal to your sense of justice.
But you've come at the wrong time. To the wrong place.
Now, Polly, you...
You hated my father. Do you deny it?
No. I did hate your father.
And why did you hate my father?
No, Polly.
You hated my father because he married my mother. Because he married Helen McLeod, the girl you had chosen for yourself. He did what no one else around here would ever dream of. He took something that you wanted. He had the audacity to defy you. And you hounded him to his grave. You saw to it that no one would ever hire him. You killed him. And that broke my mother's heart, so you killed her, too.
Polly, you must...
And now get out.
Well, how's it coming?
Oh, just great.
Oh, by the way, Polly, I'm financially grateful to you.
Why?
Everybody knows you and I are old chums.
Well, if I have a true friend in this world, it's you. You stood by me when no one else did.
Oh, it was nothing.
I didn't have any friends. Nobody wanted their kids to play with that Preston girl. After all, wasn't my father a bum? Then a jailbird?
Oh, he never did that robbery.
Oh, you know it and I know it. But Josiah Killing had him framed for it. Albie Stewart swore he found Dad's watch near the office safe. And didn't Josiah promote Albie to foreman a month after the trial?
Well, you don't have to convince me, kid.
And Artie Horn identified the man who was running away as my friend. Didn't Artie get a big loan from the bank a few weeks later?
Yeah, that's how it went.
Oh, I hope you don't mind my coming in here and blowing off steam, but it clears my mind. I should be getting back to that typewriter.
Polly, I think maybe you'd better leave here. Finish the book in New York.
Why?
Oh, I got a feeling... I think things are going to get rough around here.
I'm not afraid.
If you're going to turn the place inside out, you ought to be.
As I walked home, I kept thinking about what Martha had said. Why not finish the book in New York? Why was I staying? What was keeping me here? What was I enjoying it? After all, I didn't have to stay here longer. As a writer, there was nothing more I could get from the town itself. I heard the car before I saw it. God, it was bearing down on me. Surely I'd be killed for what seemed an eternity, but it must only have been a fraction of a second. I was frozen. And then, as I was about to be overwhelmed by a screaming mass of metal, somehow I managed to hurl myself out of the way. I fell against the curb. I felt a stab of pain, but I knew it was from the fall. I wasn't hit. I knew I'd be all right. I also knew that attempt had been deliberate. Come in.
Your aunt said that you would see me.
Mr. Killing.
And I spoke to Dr. Wellborn.
Did you?
He said your injuries are superficial, that you should be up and about in a day or so.
Oh, he said that, did he?
Oh, yes.
Well, now you know why I'm writing this book. You see, I'm Dr. Wellborn's patient. Information concerning me should be confidential between my doctor and me. Oh, but of course, Dr. Wellborn is your doctor. You own him the way you own everyone else in this town.
Oh, Polly. I'm sorry about the accident.
You're sorry the driver missed me.
What happened was certainly not a deliberate attempt on anyone's part.
Why should I believe that?
Well, there are automobile accidents. We do have reckless drivers.
Well, what will you think of next?
Please, Polly.
Oh, as a writer, let me give you some ideas. Have me shot and frame some poor derelict as a burglar.
Now, Polly.
You'll have no trouble getting witnesses.
I've come here to offer you a proposition.
How the world has changed.
Now, your entire purpose is to ruin me. All right, do it. But leave the town alone.
How?
I'll pay you whatever you ask.
Oh, money.
A great deal of money.
But I'm no longer poverty-stricken little Polly Preston. And I'll make a fortune on this book.
You name the figure you think you'll make. and I'll double it.
But I'm not writing this book for money.
Listen to me. Polly, you must take my money.
Oh, no.
Take my money!
The way he said money, the way the words seemed to explode on his lips. Money. The words sent an electric shock through my body as if I'd touched a live wire. That word, money. I'd heard it before. I'd heard him say it before, a long, long time ago. But where? And for what reason? Money. You must take my money.
You must listen.
You're wasting your time, Mr. Killing.
Oh, don't be a fool, Helen.
Helen?
I'm somewhat out of sorts.
Why did you call me Helen?
Why, I don't know. I suppose it's because you look so much like your mother. Now you think about what I said, and I'll call on you later.
He was quite agitated. Walked quickly out of the room. I was feeling agitated myself. Where had I heard him say that word money before? And why had he called me Helen?
What did Josiah say to you?
He offered me money.
I knew he would.
You knew?
Oh, yes. That's why I let him see you.
What?
You must take his money, Helen. You can't be proud.
Why do you call me?
You were wrong, my dear, wrong. And now, Helen...
I'm not...
Jim will never work again.
Aunt Grace, there are times when suddenly you disappear.
Disappear? Oh... Well, I can't account for it. I look at you and suddenly you're Helen. And I'm reminded of something.
Why were you telling Helen to take money from Josiah Killing?
Was I doing that?
Yes, you were. Helen was lying in bed, just as I'm lying in bed.
Oh, yes. That might make me think of Helen.
Well, why were you telling her to take money from Josiah?
I don't remember.
But I remember. I was a very little girl, and I remember how he said money.
I can't think of any reason why Josiah should have offered your mother money.
Are you sure?
Please. Please, Polly. Believe me.
Hello?
Mr. Killing, it's John Mears.
Oh, yes. What do you have to tell me?
What do you have to tell me? Anything new on that book? Have you been able to kill it?
Oh, not yet.
Well, it's still the fly in the ointment, you know.
I have a way of stopping her.
I hope so. But you realize, of course, you can't take her to court. The publicity would defeat the purpose.
Yes, I understand.
And not that either of us would even consider it, but any kind of rough stuff is out.
Well, naturally.
Well, what have you come up with?
I can put an end to the book completely.
Well, then do it. What's holding you back?
I'm not sure it'll be worth it.
Mr. Killing, you're talking about millions of dollars.
I know. And I'm still not sure it's worth it. To me.
Balzac had a word of advice for all writers and speakers. He said, keep your words to yourself, because they belong to you and not to other folk, who will only twist them to serve their own purposes. Here we thought all along that Josiah Killing would do anything to stop Polly Preston from writing that book. And now we find out the sky is not the limit. The limit will be clearly defined when I shall return with Act 3.
Did this ever happen to you? You see or hear an ad like this.
dining room set, only $99. But when you get to the store, they tell you, we already sold it. Or instead, they show you a set that's in really bad shape. And then they try to sell you another set for $299. This is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus, and this practice is known as bait and switch. Something is advertised for a very low price, that's the bait, and they don't intend to sell it. And then the salesman tries to sell you something more expensive, and that's the switch. Bait and switch is illegal. Don't fall for it. Here's how to protect yourself. Be suspicious of any attempt by the salesman to sell you something you're not really interested in. If the salesman refuses to show you the advertised item, take your business elsewhere. And if you have any doubts at all about making a purchase, don't sign anything until you've checked out the offer completely.
Parents, reading is educational. Reading is exciting. Reading is fun. If you can read, you can help teach your child to read. Help your child create his own picture book. Join him or her in cutting out pictures you both like from magazines. Then paste the pictures on sheets of paper. Help arrange the pictures to form pages of different chapters. Some chapters might be called Daddy and Mommy, or Things I Like, or What I Want to Be, or Places I'd Like to Go. More than just being fun, putting the pictures where they belong will be teaching your child to organize and classify information. Listen for other new approach method, Reading Hints to Parents, furnished as a public service announcement by this radio station. For further ways you can help your child, write the New Approach Method Incorporated, Post Office Box 1303, Trenton, New Jersey, 08607.
It must be wonderful to be able to pay back the people who hurt you, to hurt them even worse. Maybe it's wrong, but it feels wonderful. That is, it's supposed to feel wonderful. Polly Preston has it in her power to destroy an entire town. So why doesn't she feel wonderful at this moment, which should be her moment of triumph?
Well, kid, I told you to go back to New York.
Now, be careful crossing streets from now on.
You know, people can get awfully ugly when it's going to hit their bread and butter.
Martha, why would my mother take money from Josiah Killing?
Whoever says she did?
She did. When I was a little girl, something somehow lit up in my memory. I remember she was very sick. She was in bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was real sick when you were no more than 5 or 6 years old.
And I remember Aunt Grace was there, and Josiah Killing.
Well, now, what would he be doing in your mother's room?
I don't know.
Well, did you ask Aunt Grace?
She doesn't remember.
Oh, how can she not remember?
Oh, she's old, and maybe she doesn't want to. And I can't ask Josiah Killing.
No. And there's nobody left who remembers those days. Your mother's dead, so's your dad, and my father. Well,
your father.
Now, honey, my father, he's so sick. He's in another world.
Look, he's my only hope.
Ah, sure, you're Jimmy's little girl. Yeah, I remember you. Your name is Helen.
Oh, no, my mother's name is Helen.
Oh, sure, sure, Helen. I know Helen. Helen McLeod. How is your mother?
Mother's...
Oh, you know, Jimmy's supposed to come to see me today. We got a veterans meeting. Jimmy and I, we're gonna go to the convention in Washington.
Mr. Doyle.
Oh, no, 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 not Mr. Doyle. Uncle Jack.
Right, Uncle Jack. Did Mr. Killing ever give my mother any money?
Oh, sure, sure. Lots of money. Lots of money. Now, what can be keeping your old man?
When did Josiah Killing give my mother money?
Always. All the time. You know, if your old man keeps me waiting much longer...
Why did he give my mother money?
I'll go without him. That's what I'll do.
Why did he give my mother money?
Oh, my poor Jimmy. never had any money to give your mother.
I don't mean my dad. I mean Mr. Killing.
You see, Jimmy meant well, but if he ever got his hands on a dollar, he'd spend it on the booze.
I'm not talking about...
And I helped him. The good Lord, forgive me. Forgive me.
Tell me about my mother and Josiah Killing.
Your mother. She was the prettiest girl in town. And Josiah Killen was sweet on her. Engaged they was. And Jimmy said to me, Jack, I'll bet you $5 I can get her away from him. And I said, man, you're crazy. And he was. But he did it. Who could resist your old man?
Look, I know all that. But why did Josiah give her money?
Eh? Did he give her money? Who said that?
You did.
Oh, well... Then it must be true.
Tell me why.
Now, Helen...
I'm not Helen.
Well, there's no need of your yelling at me. I can't stop Jimmy's drinking.
Please.
I'm not the one that gets him into trouble. He's the one who gets me into trouble. And that's why I can't ever hold a job. And Martha, my little girl Martha, can't even go to school. She's got to sling hash in that greasy spoon. I'm a bad father. I'm so bad. But at least I ain't as bad as Jimmy Preston.
What are you saying about Jimmy Preston? He's your best friend.
Oh, yes. Yes, my best friend. Yes. Oh, I told you about him. I told you, Helen, before you married him.
I'm not Helen. I'm Polly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Little Polly. So nice of you to come to see me.
Uncle Jack, please, think. Try to remember. Why would Josiah give my mother money?
Josiah Killing giving away money? Why, he wouldn't give away the time of day. Now, why is that old man of yours keeping me waiting?
Suddenly, something was happening inside of me. I didn't know what it was, but it somehow concerned my mother, my father, and Josiah Killing. And why he'd been giving my mother money. It was all so long ago, and I was so young. All I had were little stabs of memory. Tiny glimmers shone briefly and died. Money, that word. And it was how that word changed in sound. Yes, sound. The sound of it changed in my mother's voice. My Aunt Grace could tell me. I'd make her tell me, in spite of herself.
Am I disturbing anything?
Oh, no, no, Aunt Grace. Come in, come in.
I haven't heard that typewriter going.
Well, I'm thinking.
Of what?
Money. Aunt Grace, I look more and more like my mother every day, don't I?
Oh, God rest her soul, yes. It's the same face.
And my voice?
Oh, Helen. Helen.
I can't take the money, Grace. I can't.
Is it pride, my dear? What about the child?
Don't make me take his money.
Jimmy will never know.
Grace, I don't know what to do.
He loves you.
I know.
A woman always knows. Josiah loves you. And so therefore it isn't wrong.
But
take the money. It's all right. He loves you.
But I'm married now.
It doesn't matter.
How can you say that it doesn't matter?
Let him be good to you.
But it's wrong.
No. If it's an act of love, then it's right.
Aunt Grace.
What?
So my mother betrayed my father?
Polly, what are you saying? How can you think?
Even she betrayed
him? Who told you this monstrous falsehood?
You did.
I said no such thing.
My mother had an affair with Josiah Killing.
Polly, you must be mad.
He corrupted everybody, even her. He robbed my father of everything, even of me.
Polly, what are you saying?
And it was my mission to write that book as a memory to my father, to save his name.
Polly!
But Josiah is going to stop me. You see how? Just before the book goes to press, he'll confront me with the proof.
Proof of what?
Proof of the fact that that my mother was his mistress. His bought and paid for mistress.
You can't say that.
Oh, yes. Here I am writing about the gutter morality of this town, and who's down in the mud with the rest of them? My own mother.
That's not true. It's not what happened.
Well, what did happen?
You mustn't think badly of your mother, dear.
Oh, no, of course not. Look, why don't you sit back in the chair and relax? I'll try to nap also.
Yes.
Just relax, Aunt Grace. Relax and close your eyes.
Yes.
Yes, relax, Aunt Grace. Grace, are you asleep? It's me, Helen.
Yes, Helen.
Look, I don't feel well.
Oh, try to rest. Try.
Grace?
Yes?
If something happens to me, what will you tell Polly about me and Josiah?
Nothing. You know that. You made me swear she should never know.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, that's right.
But Helen, dear, Polly should know.
Oh, no, no. It would destroy her memory of her father.
It should be destroyed. He was a bum, a drunk. He abused you. It was Josiah who kept this home going. His money.
Polly must never know.
And the money to send her to college. Am I supposed to lie about it? Am I supposed to say it was my money?
Yes, please, Grace, for me.
There was never anything between you and Josiah. He never did more than touch your hand.
Oh, please, Grace, let Polly have her memory. Let her keep her father.
He was no good. Even Josiah's influence couldn't get him free on that charge of burglary.
Jim's dead. Let Polly have something. Something.
And Josiah? Ask him. Ask him to show you a certain letter.
What do you mean you'll do nothing to stop publication of that book? You said you had a foolproof way.
I figured out the cost. It isn't worth it. Let her publish, Mr. Mears.
Well, then this has to be the end of our interest in Killing Valley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so am I.
Mr. Killing?
Josiah?
How did you both get in here?
I want to see a certain letter.
What letter?
Show her the letter, Josiah.
Grace, I promised Helen, I swore to her.
She was my sister. I give you the right to break your word. I broke mine. I told Polly who her father was. What he was.
I don't believe it.
This is the man who loved your mother. Your father and mother weren't married long before Helen had ample reason to regret it.
Ah, Grace, don't.
But she was a woman who had to be loyal to her husband. She was loyal till the day she died.
You're making it up.
Show her the letter, Josiah.
Well, I promised.
She has to know.
I've carried this letter with me for years. No one has. Well, here.
Read it.
I can't.
You must. And then you'll be free forever.
My dearest Josiah, I can only write you a very short note to thank you for everything you did for me and Jim and Polly. No woman ever had a dearer, truer friend. I know now that I loved you always. And we were both foolish one night very long ago. And so my life and yours has been different. Josiah, after Jimmy and I are dead, please look after Polly and see that she never learns the truth about her father. Please.
swear to me, she'll never know the truth.
I'm sorry.
Where are you going, Polly?
Home. I have to. You see, there's a book. It's burning up inside me. A book about some wonderful people. And I can't wait to sit down and write it.
And she did. And it was a very good book, too. It was well received and sold a fair amount of copies. But a bestseller, it wasn't. And a blockbuster, it never became. The other one? Ah, that would have been a different story. Well, I'll have a different story for you when I return shortly.
Hi, this is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. In addition to our other services, which are supported separately, Project Research has been established to deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. I can also tell you that every dollar donated to Project Research will help support a doctor or researcher in the leukemia field. Join me and get on a winning team, because it is only through research that a breakthrough can be made. Throw your knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Our thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
The sounds of silence. The people who cry without tears, like Helen McLeod Preston. And those who love without ever touching. Or even speaking, like Helen and Josiah Killing. And too often, we listen for words and look for actions as the clue to meaning. But all the while, all that matters is that which is hidden inside. But we hide nothing at all from you here, 7 times each week. Our cast included Kim Hunter, Joan Shea, Ian Martin, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Sleep no more. What are these hands? Mine? Could all the great oceans of the world wash this blood clean from my hands? No. No, no. These hands would rather all the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red, bloody red.
My hands are of your color now, but I would be ashamed to wear a coward's heart of white. What's that knocking?
First the south gate. The porter will attend to it.
Then let's retire to our chamber. A little water will wash away the blood. You see how easy it is? Remember who you are.
Knowing that deed I have done, I do not want to know myself.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Allied Van Lines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. An armed hijacker with two hostages is reportedly ready to land again at Stapleton International Airport in Denver. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS radio network. The hijacker, identified by officials as Roger Lentz of Grand Island, Nebraska, has been negotiating with officials on the ground. He's been demanding a commercial jet to take him to Mexico. The hijacking began at the Grand Island Airport in Nebraska, where Lentz reportedly had an argument with his wife and fired a shot at her before he grabbed a pilot and another hostage and flew to Denver. The FBI says Lentz's brother is being flown to the scene and that they're trying to buy more time. Meanwhile, the hijacker has radioed down that if anyone tries to get in his way, he will kill a hostage. The airport's public information officer, Robert Stapp, describes the hijacker as very uptight, a nervous character. The residents of Minot, North Dakota, are breathing a bit easier. The Souris River has crested, there was no flood, and the water is now receding. Betty Ann Bowser reports.
The waters of the Souris River continue a gradual withdrawal, measured by officials not in feet but in one-hundredths of a foot. Every fraction means something to them and to the 12,000 residents who've had to leave their homes until the flood threat is over. And it appears now that the 35 miles of earthen dikes have won their battle with the river. With good weather predicted, the town of Minot will probably survive another big flood. But north and south of the town, in the river basin, there are no dikes. Some 400,000 acres of farmland is underwater. State agricultural experts fear spring crops will go unplanted this year, leaving farmers total losses of more than $1.5 million. Betty Ann Bowser, CBS News, Minot, North Dakota.
Residents of Minot are still being cautioned against returning to their homes prematurely. City Manager John Arnold says the prognosis is still danger for at least another week, but he said we've survived the worst. New York Senator Jacob Javits, who has been visiting with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat in Cairo, said he did not see war fever there and that it is believed in Egypt that a Mideast peace is possible. John Sheehan reports from Cairo.
After talking with President Sadat and other Egyptian officials, Senator Javits told reporters he's convinced the Egyptians believe a Mideast settlement is possible and in a relatively short time.
Obviously, the crushing burden of the defense budget is present for Egypt, just as it is for Israel, I might say. And I certainly studied those figures as well as these figures. Hence, if we could all find some way in which to relieve the tremendous burden of armaments and to take out the feeling about war, the danger of war, it would be a great boon, obviously, to Egypt and indeed to Israel as well.
Javits said his trip will also take him to Israel in the next few days and left open the possibility he will visit Syria or other Arab countries as well. John Sheehan, CBS News, Cairo.
National pollster Lou Harris says Jimmy Carter's presidential campaign has been based on the weakness of his opponents rather than a positive appeal of his own. Appearing on ABC's Issues and Answers program, Harris said Hubert Humphrey seems to be everybody's alternate choice.
There's great kind of nostalgia about Hubert Humphrey. It's the best way you can explain his candidacy. He has appeal, believe it or not, today, probably the first time in his life, to conservative Democrats as well as liberal Democrats. He spreads out all over the spectrum. Part of that is he's viewed as a warm, friendly, decent man, kind of in the mellow part of his life here. But not too old, as I guess Carter once implied and took back, to still be president.
Striking municipal workers in San Francisco have announced a policy of de-escalation of picket line pressure. They're trying to get talks going again with the city's board of supervisors, and easing up on the picketing is intended to show good faith. On Monday, pickets will be withdrawn from a hospital for senior citizens and two downtown war memorial and opera houses. They'll be pulled off the school bus yard, but will remain at City Hall and all public transit yards. Now this.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids.
But without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
A spill of toxic liquid into Nickajack Lake in Jasper, Tennessee, caused the water supply system to be shut down in several nearby towns while officials check for contamination. It's now reported the water will be back on in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Monday morning. Officials there say they see no immediate threat but will continue checking. The toxic liquid was on a freight train that derailed Sunday. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
Four hours a day, CBS News, and bright and beautiful music, KIXI.